We're so excited you decided to join us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Hannah Ann Taylor and Tara and myself are in the studio, and we are in Genesis, if you've been tuning in, and we are talking about Abram and his relationship with God. And we're going to find in these two passages that we're talking about, 12 and 15, that it'll reveal so much about God.
I'm excited. I'm very excited about this passage. My mind was actually going into the story, and I'm like, wait, she's done talking. So Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 provide us this amazing conversation with God and Abram. And there are many things that we will learn. And so as you're listening to Taylor read this passage, I want your mind to be thinking on, what do I learn about God and his character and how he interacts with his people? And we'll discuss those things after. Go ahead, Tay.
Okay. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel, and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. Yeah. We're going to skip now to Genesis 15. But to give some context, with 13 and 14, a lot of battles happen in those chapters. So now Genesis 15, 1 through 20. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." So he took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country that not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." When the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Canaanites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Gershites, and Jebusites."
Very good. Okay, you're going to laugh. Every time I hear somebody read Perizzites, I think of Parasite.
Kind of looks like it.
I have to make my mind go back into the place it's supposed to, because I think crazy things. All right, we learned so much about God and his communication. with Abram. And so remember, I challenged you when we first started this series that we have to think on the fact that this is a paradigm shift and that God is showing how he wants us to enter into our relationship with him. He's on the move, setting about his kingdom purposes, and he's including us to join him. And he's done that with Abram. So I'm wanting us to think through the directions that God gives. I really want us to focus in on God's communication. So the first aspect of, I want us just to analyze, just take Genesis 12 and 15 and anything that you guys can gather. Let's talk about the different directions that God gave him. He gave very clear, specific directions. So what do you see?
Are you talking directions and commands? Do not fear?
Well,
I mean, that was a big one for all of us.
Yeah. He did that in Genesis 15. Mm-hmm. Let's try to start first with Genesis 12 and work our way through, if we can.
That'd be too easy.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Let's try to go chronologically.
Oh, okay.
But, verse 1 with leave and go.
Okay, mm-hmm. Leave and go. Okay. And who was he leaving?
He was leaving his country, his relatives, his family, the land he'd known.
It's crazy.
Going to somewhere he had no idea. He didn't even have directions of being like, this is the land that you should start heading towards. It was just like, you're going.
Yeah. Just, okay, I want you to leave your home, your land, everything you're familiar with, your food. Think culturally if you've ever experienced another culture. Every aspect of what you know in sight, sound, smell, taste, and familiarity with people, all of that, and then your ancestry, your descendants, and the way your family spends traditions and holidays and celebrations or whatever, all of that. I want you to leave it.
It's gone, yep.
And did he tell him he could take him with him? He didn't.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, we could also later, when we look at Abram, we might be able to answer the question, well, was he obedient? We'll mm-hmm. talk about that later. But so, all right, leave your country, leave your family. And then he very specifically, leave your father's house. Very, very specific. We know in other places of scripture, it's because his father's household was pagan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I want you to go, Hannah said, but does he tell him where yet?
Nope.
No.
Go where I tell you, but there's no specifics.
Uh-uh.
None. Not, okay, I want you
to
go.
That really shows his trust.
North? Don't go 10 steps north a mile. Go to the, you know, nothing. And I laugh because right now at Grace University, that is exactly what's happening to so many of us on staff. You know, we all know we're called to serve and we're gifted, but we're just kind of like, okay, we know we have to go. We just don't know what God is doing. And so it's crazy how God will do that. In that, I was thinking through, God gave him clear directions of what he was to let go of. But he didn't necessarily give him clear directions of what he was going to take hold of. Like, he didn't see the house, the home, the people, didn't see all the specifics, but he was very specific of what he was to let go of. Why do you think that is? It came from a pagan culture. They had idols and many gods. What was God trying to teach him?
Well, sometimes that's what we trust in, or it's our security sometimes, and God wants Abram to see God as his provider, his security, his everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's good. Think on Hebrews and how it tells us to take all those things that encumber us and they hinder us from being mm-hmm. in a good relationship. And so God is preparing Abram so that he can really develop that right relationship with God, the one true God. And so all the things that he was asking are things that we may value,
mm-hmm.
and rightfully so, because God does want us to value our family and our people and our country and our culture, but not to the point where they're elevated above
right.
obedience to God and worship of God. And so he's telling them to do that. I do you think this is a yes, simple yes or no kind of, but what was God's expectation of Abram when it came to faith? What was God's expectation when it came to faith? Did he expect him to walk into faith? Was it a faith step that he would have to take to leave that country? You guys speak. You're
trust,
on the radio.
Trust,
you
faith.
Guys are all nodding at me. I'm like, okay, I need someone to speak.
I thought you said this is a yes or no, and then you said that. I'm thinking, like, how can we answer that yes or no?
I don't know.
We were pondering. Yeah, I was so pondering.
Like, you're pondering. Okay, maybe I was an idiot.
No. I was probably not.
Okay, so he expects him to walk by faith. I was trying to get you guys
expectation?
To. Expectation? Yes, that expectation. There is an expectation of God on him. To walk by faith.
Yes.
Okay, we cannot be in obedience to God and not walk by faith. And I would dare say, and I think most people would agree, if it doesn't require faith, it's not of God. Mm. And so if it's easy, if it's safe, if it's comfortable, if it doesn't cause you to, oh my goodness, I can't do this, I can only do this with God.
Yeah.
That's what causes us to have that faith walk entering into God's plan. And so we have to think on that. And this morning I was listening to Tim Mackey, and I don't even remember which message it was, or I'd tell you. And he said, we like to focus in on Jesus the Comforter or Jesus the Compassionate One. We don't like Jesus the One who challenges. Mm. But if you actually look at most of his times when he's teaching with the disciples, it was challenging. Now, he gave comfort and compassion to the harassed and hassled and the people, but with the disciples, the actual ones he was trying to teach to walk by faith that would lead the church, he challenged them hard. The one who follows me must take up his cross and you're going to have to let go of everything. It's a challenge. Jesus challenged them because it was the challenge that made them walk by faith. The people that he saw that were harassed and hassled were the ones that didn't have that, hadn't entered in yet. And so that's where the compassion is given.
And those trials or tribulations, whatever you want to call them, that's where we grow, you know, and grow closer to the Lord. You know, I know some people run away from it sometimes because they don't want the pain. It brings pain.
Right, exactly. Okay, so... In these two passages, Genesis 12, 1 through 9, and 15, 1 through 20, God communicates in five different methods with Abram, and I'm going to share this with you. Mm-hmm. So God uses words. He used vision. Mm-hmm. He used his creation because he had him use the animals and the sacrifice. But then he took a dream, and he used symbolism. And so isn't that fun to see the different things that we teach are good skills for communicating? God used them with Abram. And in particular, I really just wanted to hone in on the vision because it seems like whenever I teach this, a lot of people ask a lot of questions like, well, why? Why did he use the smoking pot and the floating torch floating through? And one, those both had symbolism in Genesis 15 for God's power and his deliverance. It also is a symbolic of what happened in the Exodus when he had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so showing God's protection. But I was asking the question because I read one commentator and I thought, I think I disagree. He said there God didn't really use a lot of visions, and so I actually Googled to find out. And you guys, oh my goodness, God used visions so much. And for some people, a lot, but I'll just give a sampling of some of them. And so the visions come through dreams, and the commentators say that when God's wanting to give a knowledge that's not readily available to somebody, and he's really wanting them to get it right because he's trying to reveal Jesus and build his kingdom, that those are the reasons why, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, that's the purpose behind why God's doing what he's doing. And so, because it's going to enable to happen, to have where people will enter into his purpose and will. And so that's why God will use them. He did it, and obviously here in Genesis with the covenant, which is the first one, and then Genesis 27 with Abimelech, because Abram lied about Sarai. And so he gives it to the Abimelech, and then Genesis 28, Jacob with his dream ladder to heaven. Genesis 37, Joseph, of how they were all going to worship him. Genesis 40, the cupbearer to the king. Genesis 41, Pharaoh for what's going to happen, and that's what, you know, he had to go and interpret. 1 Samuel 3, as a young boy, Samuel, and he was told, you know, hey, God's speaking to you. And Judges 7, the Midianites and the Amalekites had a vision, and Gideon was hiding, and he heard it and interpreted and knew that they were going to win. And 1 Kings, we have Solomon for wisdom. And Daniel 2, 4, and then it just goes on all the way through Daniel. But interpreting the foreign dreams, and Daniel had so many that there's no point in listing them all. Mm-hmm. But then if we go to the New Testament, you guys, and I thought, oh, well, maybe it's just Old Testament. And I'm like, oh, wait, nope, never mind. We have Zechariah and Luke about the child. We have Joseph about Mary. Pilate's wife about Jesus, Ananias about what he's doing to the church, Cornelius about Jesus, Peter about eating what is clean and unclean. Paul has multiple ones, like just there's lists of those, so there's no point in listing. And then John, the entire book of Revelation. And so what we have to ask, somebody was asking me recently, do we still have visions? And then Scripture says, even in I think it's Isaiah, it says, even the young will have dreams and visions. But what we always have to remember, it's not unto things that we want, or it will be for the purpose of building the kingdom of God and pointing to Jesus, fulfilling so that we can enter into what God's plan is. In every single one of these circumstances, it was so God's plan was fulfilled. It wasn't so that people had an idea of what they wanted or that kind of thing. It was for the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes so that they could enter into that invitation of joining God in his story. And so if God is going to use that in our lives today, it will be for the purposes of building his kingdom. And I think we have to keep that in mind. We have about 30-something seconds left. What would be one good takeaway from today's lesson? And it's okay to speak. 30 seconds.
That God wants to communicate, and he uses all different kinds of ways to communicate with us and communicate through his word.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good. How are we? We're glad you're listening. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.